The General Services Administration is facing 24 bid protests on three different government-wide contracts. Vendors protesting GSA's Office Supplies 3, Oasis Small Business, and Maintenance, Repair, and Operations contracts. You can read more about the protests inside the Reporter's Notebook. My colleague Jason Miller writing about them on federalnewsradio.com. Roger Waldron is president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Roger, I know that 24 protests is not something that GSA really looked forward to, but I imagine given the way these contracts are structured, they probably aren't very surprised, are they?
I hope they're not really all that surprised. The current, acquisition strategy of strategic sourcing is about reducing competition, frankly, over the long term by reducing the number of contractors. So the stakes are much, much higher for companies competing for these strategic sourcing vehicles. So these protests are, frankly, to me, completely expected. Part of the process and part of what GSA is trying to accomplish, that we've got to be prepared for these.
And is it reasonable to assume that as more of this happens, it strikes me that the amount of protests will probably go up on these kinds of contract vehicles, at least exponentially, and not in a linear fashion. We'll see more and more and more of them on more and more contracts.
I think to the extent GSA continues down the path of trying to limit the number of contractors that can engage with the federal government through its programs, you will see more protests. This is sort of one of the byproducts of supplier suppression, and that terminology is not my term. That's a term that GSA has actually used to describe its strategic sourcing initiatives. And supplier suppression is really about reducing competition in the supply chain over the long run, in an effort to try to drive down prices through these strategic sourcing vehicles and limiting competition. For example, let's talk about office supplies for just a second. They're suppressing sort of small businesses and large businesses both in this case. There's a lot of focus on the small businesses, and their goal is to award about 20 to 23 contracts to small businesses out of the entire universe of small businesses that are office supply companies. But even more sort of troubling to me, and the small business issue is very troubling, is the goal in the RFP is to award to one large business. So you're going to have one large business competing for a portion of the work for office supplies across the entire federal government. How does that make any sense? So whatever company loses in this situation is going to walk away from the federal market. The federal government is not a big enough piece of their revenue stream to make it worthwhile to hang around for the next 5 years to wait till the next competition. When they leave, they're done. And I think in the long run, this hurts the supply chain. It will negatively impact, competition in the future and limit competition. And to the extent this model that's being done in office supplies is replicated, I think it's going to have the same impact in limiting competition in the long run, which I don't think is in the interest of GSA. I don't think it's in the interest of customer agencies or the taxpayer.
Roger, my colleague Jason Miller quoted you in his Reporter's Notebook piece on this, talking about OS3. And he reports that you said if you're a scheduled contractor, your pricing has to be consistent across two contracts, which begs the question, why is GSA creating two contracts? And you nailed right there in that sentiment what vendors have been telling me, not about OS3 specifically, but just in general about all of these contracts for a long time.
Well, yes, it's one of the biggest issues that we heard from industry, and we hear it in the office supply area, is you're creating a whole new IDIQ contract that duplicates what already exists on the GSA schedules. So why not, use the schedules again, create preferences for small businesses, award BPAs across the schedules for the office supplies, but instead they've created a whole new contract vehicle that's only which is only 5 years. Okay, so they're going to have to compete it again in 5 years. The BPAs and the underlying base of the schedules would go on for beyond that, and they could continually compete the BPAs and not have to worry about contracts actually ending. And to your point about, or what the point I made about price reduction clause, the way they've structured this contract is if you're on the schedules, the price reduction clause is essentially incorporated into your new IDIQ contract. So you have to match, if you lower your price on your schedule contract, you have to lower your price on this new IDIQ contract, which, again, if I'm an industry partner or supplier, I think GSA prefers the term supplier, out there, I'm wondering, what is the change here? Why are they going down this path? And the only thing that I can see that's going on here is it's analogous, you know, how corporate America gets criticized by focusing quarter to quarter, and to try to get here, we're focusing on trying to demonstrate savings by doing an objective comparison to price from one set of transactions to the next, without looking at the long-term sort of strategic value, what strategic sourcing is really supposed to be all about, which is developing, where the buyer and seller develop deeper, more focused understanding of each other's missions, requirements. It truly boils down to understanding requirements, being able to articulate requirements and make commitments to get better pricing. And the current approach is there's no volume commitments. It's purely trying to, it's really the threat of being locked out of a market that is driving people to try to reduce prices to compete. In the long run, that negative incentive, I think, will ultimately, people will make business decisions to leave the market. And they'll either leave the market or be excluded from the market. And again, I think in the long run, that's not good for the taxpayer.
Roger Waldron's president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Roger, we're almost out of time, but that's kind of a couple of pieces there I want to tie together to wrap up our conversation today. You said they're going to recompete this in only 5 years, making it sound like that's a short period of time. But if I'm the vendor who lost and didn't get on the contract, 5 years is a heck of a long time to me, and I probably won't stick around necessarily to try to keep doing business, at least on that contract.
Right, you're absolutely right, Francis. And this is one thing I think the government clearly doesn't understand with traditional commercial firms that choose to engage in the federal marketplace, is that federal, I've heard it time and time again from federal officials, oh, we're the biggest buyer in the world. We buy more of X than anybody else. Well, in reality, you know, you've got to look at what the addressable market in each sector is for particular companies, whether it's office supplies or janitorial supplies or information technology. The addressable market is much, much smaller. And if I'm a traditional commercial firm, my revenue from the federal government probably accounts for less than 1% of my overall revenue stream. So if you make it more difficult for me to do business, and we didn't even get to talk about all the data reporting requirements and office supplies, there's literally hundreds of data points that have to be reported by contractors. If you're going to make it more difficult to do business, if you're going to essentially reduce the opportunity for me to compete, and my revenue stream from you is less than 1%, why am I going to stay in this market? And that's what really worries me and troubles me as a taxpayer moving forward, is that, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, when folks are gone or doing other things, then we're going to have much more limited competition, much more static pricing, and the supply chain will be damaged.
You're right. We didn't have a chance to talk about that, Roger, but it does give us something for the next time, right?
Oh, looking forward to it, Francis.